Church, good to see everybody this morning. Nice to have everybody back. I'm a pretty big reader. I like to read quite a bit, and I read pretty fast, and so I get done with a book pretty soon. And I'm always kind of on the hunt for new books. Most people give me recommendations, and that's cool. I usually don't like them, because we all have our own tastes, right? I mean, we all have the books we like and the books we don't like. Is this ready to go in a minute? But here's the problem lately I'm having, is that when I go to read a new book, or I want a new book, it's not that they don't exist. It's that I feel as if that I don't like what other people like. Or it's that everything is now described in such big and bold terms that it almost drowns out all the good stuff. Let me kind of show you what I mean. I'm just going to go through the reviews, all right? These are the kinds of reviews I read. I get, you know, daily emails, and you know, you can kind of relate and think about, do you see this stuff all the time? So this one book, it was, I was told it was, quote, the thriller of the year. Yeah, it wasn't even a thriller for a minute. So it was dull. I couldn't get out of the third chapter. I just tossed it, you know, and I paid good money for it, but I threw it in the trash, and I felt like that was where it belonged, was in the trash can. I even took a picture, and I wanted to, you know, post a picture of this book in the trash can in case anybody read that review. So I'm just going to kind of give you another one. Page Turner with a twist ending. Yeah, that twist never came. Soaring, this is another book, soaring, brilliantly imagined novel about love and desperation. Yeah, desperation is about all that book need to be described as. You got to be desperate if you read that. It was just not good. Or how about, set in an astonishing new world that still feels utterly gripping and... Who writes this mess? Like, do they just hire people just to write, you know, you meet people, what's your job? My job is to write professional reviews so that you'll spend good money on books that are horrible. Haunting whirlwind of secrets, deception in the dark side of the soul. I think that describes the person who wrote the review. I don't know if I got any more. Oh, yeah. Books this ingenuous don't come along very often. Got that right. I'm just starting, like, what is it I'm not seeing? Like, what is it that everybody else seems to see in a book? Or maybe you don't, maybe you're not a big reader. Maybe you watch, you know, some good TV shows. Maybe you're like me. You're kind of going through Netflix. What are you going to watch now, right? You just finished the 38th season of Law & Order. You don't know what else to watch. You know, you finished Law & Order SVU. You finished Law & Order Los Angeles, Law & Order New Orleans, Law & Order Vegas. Am I missing one? Miami. Yeah, there's some Law & Order fans in here. You know, what do we do now? Well, turn on TBS and watch the reruns because we don't have anything else to watch. And some of you are nodding like, this is me, right? And you go to look for a show and you see reviews like this. You know, best show in a decade. Hadn't been a show like this since Dallas. You know. Okay, some of you don't know what Dallas is. You really, you know. We see this all. How about food? Any of you ever been robbed blind with a food review? This restaurant was great, and you walked in. What happened? Food was horrible. You never got waited on. You know, they had a bad night, and you feel like you got to get left holding the bag here, right? You know, whether you're reading something, you're watching something, you're going somewhere. Or how about? New theater, yes, yeah, there's a new movie theater that opened, I think, in Franklin, and they talked about it, and then the person went, and they went to opening night, and they were going to see this movie, and the projector won't even work, you know, and there's some stuff's just not their fault, you know, freak accidents happen, we got it. But sometimes I feel like I'm just not getting the memo, you know, I don't see what everybody else sees. These words like whirlwind, astonishing, gripping, contemporary, you know, and what's worse is that I feel like that my spiritual life has taken this path a lot. That everybody's feeling something that I'm not feeling. You know, people describe their experience with God. I've heard people use these words. It's outstanding. It's daunting. You know, an experience of a lifetime. You know, me and the Lord. And I'm thinking, wow, me and God just don't have that kind of, you know, I wouldn't call me and God's relationship a whirlwind of secrets or anything. I don't know, or I just don't know. But here's my other problem. if God doesn't deal with me in daunting, new, whirlwind kind of ways, is that because God doesn't do that, or is that because I don't see it? That's the real question. Is it because I'm just too watered down with all the great reviews that it's hard for me to believe anything anymore? This morning, Brother George read to us this 12 verses out of a chapter. This is a chapter we've heard a million times about the resurrection of Christ. If you have your Bibles, I hope you'll stay there, because the story that we're going to look at is not necessarily the resurrection, but it's more about what happens after the resurrection. You may have to help me out with this thing, because it never works ever. There's a story of two men who are walking along the road. This is right after the resurrection. And they feel a lot like you and I feel sometimes. They feel like they've been left alone. They feel like they've been left holding the bag. They feel like they don't even pray at all, because there's really no reason for it. You may think that this isn't you, but I family member that's driving you crazy. And it's just driving you nuts. You don't have to go straight to the kids. It ain't always the kids. Sometimes it's mom. And you ain't got to be 15 for mom to drive you nuts. Some of y'all know that. Some of y'all nodding. Y'all way older than 15. Yeah. Used to drive her nuts. Now it's the other way around. Yeah. We kind of stepped into that role. Or some of us, it's dad. Some of us, it's grandfather. For some of us, it's somebody at work. And they just keep telling you the same old bad story, and you keep telling them it's going to be okay. But really, you know, right? It ain't going to be okay. A lot of us feel lost. I tell you, more than once, I have felt like that I have prayed to God. I have asked Him to help. I have asked Him for results. And not only does it not happen, but it goes the total opposite way, and He leaves me alone to deal with what's left. That's what these two guys feel like. They have invested their whole lives into Jesus Christ. They've been following Him around for weeks, if not months, if not years. And they just knew this is what was supposed to happen. They just knew that this is how God was going to help them. This is how God was going to answer their prayers. More than once, I have said publicly, out loud, in a sermon, or just to a lot of people, if God doesn't do this, I'm going to have a real problem. And it's because I just knew that this is how God operates, and then He don't operate that way. And I did have a problem. These two have a problem. What I want to do this morning is to show you this little bitty story. It's another story we've read. What I want to show you is that these two men have the same issue you and I have. That when things don't go our way, when we get a little upset, or when we feel like we're lost, there's a reason we feel this way. And it ain't because of God, it's because of us. There's some things that we're not thinking about. Look at Luke 24. Let's pick up right where George left off in verse 13. I don't know how you're going to read that. I can't even read that. You have to read it like in your own Bible or your phone. Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day. So it's the same day that, you know, they go to the tomb, ain't finding nobody. That same day, two of them, we don't know who the them is, they're going to the village called Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they kind of walking away from Jerusalem. They're talking about with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and He walked along with them. I'll tell you right now, if that happened to me, I'd get scared and run. I don't do well with scary movies. So I'm already a little freaked out. Do they recognize this guy? Do they know it's Jesus? Has anybody else in here thought to yourselves, how in the world did you not know who that was? Was that the 10 years ago Jesus? Is it the 16-year-old Jesus? Is it the 100-year-old Methuselah-like immortal Jesus? You know, which Jesus? I think it's the same one. They just can't figure out that it's Him. You may think they're foolish, but don't be so quick to judge, because I think we've done this. Verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked, but they were kept from recognizing. And He said to them, what are y'all discussing together as y'all walk along? and they stood still, their faces downcast. Verse 18, one of them named Cleopas, he said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days? And Jesus, verse 19, says, what? What things? Is he just playing dumb? Is he just toying with them? I'd be the same way. What are you, born in a barn? You living under a rock? You didn't know this happened? It would be like someone talking to you now and you said the words Donald Trump and they said, who's that? You don't know who that is? You don't have an inkling at all who that is? You don't ever turn on anything electronic? You don't wake up at all? You don't hear that name at all in your life? You got to be kidding me. That's what they feel like. Or it would be as if something has happened. Let's say it was September 12th, 2001. Let's say it's September 13th, 2001. Okay? And then you're talking about what has just happened. And someone comes up and says, what are you talking about, towers? What are you talking about, airplanes? What would you say to them? Where you been? You didn't turn on TV? You don't watch nothing? You don't see anything? You don't talk about anything? Where have you been? That's what Jesus is doing. He said, what are y'all talking about? And I bring up 9/11 because I think this goes along with this conversation. There are a lot of people who felt this way after 9/11. Where was God in all this? Why was this supposed to happen? Or how could this happen? And I think Jesus would ask us the same question. What are you talking about? What are you so worried about? I want to share with you why I think they're having some difficulties today. Why are they so upset? Why are they slow to believe? Why don't they recognize Jesus? Why don't they do any of this? Let me tell you these three. First of all, I think that they lack spiritual dimension. Not dementia, dimension. They only see things with a physical point of view. Look at verse 19. They start describing it to Jesus. They say, oh, this guy was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Chief priests, rulers, they handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But now it's the third day since all this took place. Y'all notice y'all don't see the words like Son of God or divine or anything like that. They only see this through the physical eyes. They don't see any of this through God eyes. They only see things logically. And this is for a lot of us our issue. We only see things logically. We only see how we would handle this. We don't see an element in this at all with God. How many of you have said, I don't know why this is happening? You don't know why it's happening because you're seeing it from physical eyes. We have to see things with God eyes. When you see things with God eyes, we start to see there are other things going on. Don't turn there, but Ephesians 6, verse 12, Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, it's against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are a lot of us who are praying for things and asking for things, and we only see it through what's right in front of us. There are other things going on in your life than your life. If you would have asked my wife and I 7 years ago, if you would have asked my wife and I 7 years ago, where do you think you're going to be in a year? We would have said, North Carolina. That's what we would have said, North Carolina. Just knew it. If you would have asked us 6 years ago, where do you think you're going to be in a year? We would have said Memphis. If you would have asked us 5 years ago, where do you think you're going to be? We would have been so discouraged, we would have said, we don't know. We're going to be stuck in Maryland for the rest of our lives. That's what I would have said. I don't know what she would have said, but that's what I would have said. You know, in fact, somebody did ask, you know, where do you see yourself? And I said, I don't know, man. You know, we're honestly where I see myself. We just come out of like 80 inches of snow. So you know how I felt about that. If you don't know how I felt, you're new. Because we're heading into that season of dread, you know, for me. We just come out of like 80. And I remember somebody, they were talking to me and they were talking about their lives. And they said, some of us just don't know where we're going to be. Where do you think you're going to be? And I remember telling them, I don't know. I'll probably be froze to death in Maryland. Because God has forsaken me in this Babylon of a place, and I'm in exile. You know, and they say, well, where do you want to be? Miami. Puerto Rico. I'm thinking about becoming a missionary to Ecuador, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was being honest. If you would have asked me, I had literally looked it up. Now, I saw that, you know, the bug, so I didn't want to do that. But for a quick minute, look, when you see stuff physically, only physically, with hot and cold, you make judgments based upon what you see. When these guys told Jesus, said, what things are y'all talking about? They didn't say nothing about divine Son of God. This guy was a really good prophet, and we thought this was going to be this way. They're only looking at it with physical eyes. That's why we have trouble understanding how this is operating, because you're not looking at it spiritually. But now when I look backwards, now that we're here at this great place, and looking backwards, I am so glad the Lord did not listen to me. I really am. I was praying hard. I mean, I wrote him pretty good. I told him, look, I had some plans. And I didn't like the people in Maryland. I love the people in Maryland. They're great people. It's just cold. It's just bad. It's just cold. I didn't want to be there. I'm a small guy. I'm going to freeze to death. I'm ready to go. And I told the Lord, look, I remember praying to him. I said, what do you want me to do? Is there a quota of baptisms I need to do? Is there a number of people I need to get to the church? Is there a budget number I need to try to hit? Like, I remember thinking about, what do I got to do to buy my way out of this? It sounds kind of bad. But a lot of us do that. Try to cut deals. Because we only look at it from a used car point of view. Can't do that. That's why you're struggling. That's why I struggle. And finally, when I didn't have any other options and I thought, well, I'm just going to be left here forever, the Lord stepped in and said, time to go. Oh, I guess when I don't try to do it myself, that's when God does something. Yeah. He's waiting for you to shut up and go to sleep. That's what he was waiting on. There's a second issue. It's not just that they don't see things with godly eyes. I got to start working on my font. They don't see who's standing right in front of them because their agenda, their own agenda, usually dictates their expectations. You don't know what I mean? If the Lord doesn't answer my prayers, then I just don't know if I can believe him anymore. We box God in. Y'all notice what they said? We had hoped. We had hoped he was going to redeem Israel. We just knew he was, and then when he didn't, I don't know what's going to happen now. Because you box God into what you think he was supposed to do. When you do that, if he doesn't come through the way you said it, then everything's lost, right? Whose fault is that? Is that God's or is that yours? Didn't you just set God up to fail? You know how many people I've met whose faith has gone down the tubes because they decided how God was going to act? How many of your marriages have taken that turn sometime? The spouse just knew you were going to do something. She didn't. Sorry, ladies. It's a personal experience. Or it could go the other way. He doesn't tell you what he's thinking. He doesn't tell you what he wants you to do. He doesn't tell you how you should, you know, what he likes. He doesn't tell you any of those things. You just have to kind of guess. And when you guess wrong, you get in trouble. Why would you do that? I don't know, because you didn't tell me. We do this all the time. We just assume we know how God's going to do something. You know how we usually assume that? I assume he's going to do it the way I do it. I assume. One of the funniest times I have ever gotten to talk to a married couple, they were arguing about food. I don't really care that much about food to argue. There's better stuff to argue about, but you know, than food. And they were arguing about food. And the reason they were arguing about food, one, because he was a fool. But two, she had decided that she was going to cook for him, which is great. He works late, he came home, and she had made some great dishes. And her complaint is that every time she would make the food, he would come home and eat it. He would eat it, and he would always say the same thing. Well, I know it's not good if he starts well. I said, well, he said, it was good. Did y'all hear my tone? Yeah, what word's coming next? Yeah, this guy, I told you he was a fool, and he knows who he is, so, and he ain't in here, but if he ever hears it, he knows, because I call him a fool anyway. But he's a fool because he stopped saying the word but. He would just say, well, it's good. And he would do that. Well, it's good. Ladies, does that make you feel good? Well, I mean, it's all right. It's good. I mean, you tried, really. I mean, you tried your best. What kind of compliment is that? And the reason he stopped saying the but is because it just made her angry. But the original but was, well, it's good, but it just, it ain't like Mama used to make it. Ooh, hoo, 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 hoo. Bad. Hey, men, let me stop here just for a sec, okay? Say, got nothing to do with the sermon. If you have a habit of saying that, you should stop. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to save your marriage. I'm trying to make you a smarter guy. Stop. It's good. Just don't even do it. Just say, change the tone. It's good. You see the difference? Y'all hear that? Yeah, men. Ladies, you too. You know, if you got to, well, it looks nice. Yeah. Work on tone, okay? But he said, it's not what he, in his mind, it's not going to be good unless you make it like his mother makes it. And I'm be honest with you, and he knows this too, in case he ever hears this. I ate his mother's cooking. It was awful. It was. His daddy thought it was awful. I thought it was awful. If she brought it to a potluck, we didn't eat it. The whole church thought it was awful. That food ain't good. But he judged it based on what Mama used to make. Ain't no way this his wife's food was worse, because I tell you, it couldn't have been worse. But in his mind, it's not good unless it meets this right here. And some of you are still waiting on God to answer a prayer, and it's not good enough for you. But let me clue you in. Your expectation was horrible. Compared to what God could do, you can't see what's standing right in front of you because you stuck on some food that's bad in the first place. You understand what I'm telling you? Those of you who don't, wait around. We just settle on something we think is supposed to be good. You ain't lived long enough to know what's good. I don't care if you're 80. You ain't lived long enough to know what's the best because you ain't seen it yet. And yet we continue to compare things to what we just know must be it. If that's your prayer life, you are setting yourself up for a big letdown. And of course, you don't recognize God when he's standing right in front of you because you just know it wouldn't be what you like. Last one. I think their faith is almost as if it's on eggshells. Not only because they lack this spiritual dimension, not only because they're setting themselves up to expectation, but because they have totally canceled out all hope of a miracle in their life. You notice what they tell Jesus when they go through all the rumors? You know, the ladies went to the tomb and they didn't see a body, and then the disciples went there and they didn't see him either. You know, I don't know what they did. They never say the word resurrection. They never say risen. They never think that could be an option. Do you know why they don't think it's an option? Because they don't believe in miracles. Because they don't believe that God could do something truly magnificent. They have decided their faith is according to their agenda. They've decided their faith is according to what they know. And they've decided that if a doctor tells you you got no hope, you must not have any hope. Because I guess somebody told you that, right? Church, when we become a people who stop believing in the impossible, then we have become a people who have really lost sight of what God can do. And do you know what Jesus calls them right after this? Fools. What a lot of fools you are. And they're so foolish, they say, you want to stay for dinner? Y'all a bunch of fools. Cool. You hungry? Because they know, although they don't know, look at verse 16, they did not know who he was. Do y'all remember how many times in the Gospels that Jesus is standing right in front of somebody and they have no clue who they're talking to? Y'all already think of some? Remember Pilate? Pilate, Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking me these dumb questions. I put the dumb in there, but that's probably what Jesus meant. You know, all the things you're asking, all the things you're talking to me about, you have no clue who I am. You just think I'm some peasant terrorist who just gets everybody all hyped up. You have no clue who I am. And he didn't. Because in Pilate's mind, he's already decided who Jesus is. How about the woman at the well? She thinks he's just some liberal Jew. He's just some libertarian guy from Jerusalem. Hey, you know that you're not supposed to be talking to me, right? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a Samaritan woman, and I don't see anybody around, so this is a bad idea. And Jesus says, yeah, I know, but I'm thirsty. He doesn't understand the rules. And when you read their conversation, she doesn't just misunderstand the rules. She has no clue who she's talking to, does she? Because in her mind, she's already decided who Jesus is. Or how about this story? Remember this one? Disciples are rowing heavy, and Jesus comes along the water, and what do they think he is? Yeah, Greek is a phantasm. It's just Casper. That's a good English translation right there. Must be a ghost. Why don't they know who this is? Because they've already decided who it is, isn't it? They're using their own experience. They've decided what they know. Church, it ain't just Pilate or the women or the disciples. I'm going to tell you, I do this daily. You remember the poem your mamas used to have on the refrigerator, Footsteps? I passed that a billion times. I never read that. But it's almost become ingrained in our minds. How many of us walk in faith every day wondering where's God? And he's been there the whole time. But you and I don't recognize him. Do you know why? It ain't because he ain't doing nothing. It's because you and I have decided we're not listening. Let me tell y'all a secret. God will not raise his volume. He's going to talk at the same volume the whole time. He's not going to raise it. If you're going to hear him, you're going to have to turn down all that other stuff you got blaring all the time. If you're going to hear him, you're going to have to open your eyes and let him speak. Don't box him in to some little place. Go ahead and let him speak. And how about we do this? How about you give him the benefit of the doubt? How about you allow God to move you instead of you trying to move God? There was a key line George read. He read it quick. You'll miss it. The angel asked the ladies, he said, why are you looking for what? The living among the dead. For some of us, we don't see God because you're looking for him in the wrong spot. You're looking for him amongst all this dead stuff. He's not going to be here. You're looking for him among all the things that you're used to, among all the things you create. He's not going to be there. And you're getting disappointed for no reason. Why won't this marriage work? Why won't this job work? Why won't this work? Because you're trying to make something work on your scale. It's not going to work. Let it go. Just let it go. What if God wants me to freeze to death? I guess you'll freeze to death. Or he might actually warm you up if you'd let him, if you'd back off. Or if you would allow for the impossible. Some of us have already decided we're doomed, or they're doomed, or he's doomed, or she's going to do this. You've already decided the verdict or the diagnosis. That's not your call. Let God decide that, not you. Steve Harvey tells a story. He tells a story about this woman that he knew, and she was dating a married man. She'd been dating him for a long time. And she talked with Steve, and if you don't know who Steve Harvey is, I don't have enough time, so YouTube it. But you should know who Steve Harvey is. But she came and she talked to him, and he said, why are you dating? Why are you dating this man? You know, he married. He's off limits. He ain't yours. She said, Steve, I've been praying for years for God to send me a man, for God to send me someone who would treat me well, and this is all I got. And Steve said, well, I'm going to tell you, God did not send that man to you. He didn't. I know. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that he didn't send that man to you because he's married. So I know that he didn't do that. And she said, but I've been praying. And I've been praying for God to send me a man, but he just hasn't. And Steve asked this question. He said, how can God send you someone when you have decided that you're staying with this married man? Every Tuesday and every Thursday, you meet this married man for dinner at this spot, every Tuesday, every Thursday, and you've been doing it for 2 years. How can God work if you've already decided that you found what you need. You have boxed him out. You have set limits. So he can't answer your prayer because you've already answered it. I don't know if it was because of Harvey's advice or somebody else, but she decided, I'm going to break it off with this man. And so she did. A week later, the maitre d' of the restaurant sees her. He says, hey, I've been missing you. I ain't seen you this week. I've been, you know, I see you twice a week, every week. I didn't see you. And she said, well, I was dating a married man. He said, I know. But I never said nothing. You know, I knew what was happening. He said, but I was wanting to know if you'd like to go out with me. And Harvey tells a story, and he says, this couple's married now. Got a couple of kids. And it's one of the best marriages that I've ever seen. Here this guy was the whole time, standing right there, pouring her drinks, serving the food. She couldn't see it. The Lord had sent her somebody, but she couldn't see it. Y'all see what I'm saying? The Lord had answered her prayer, but she didn't hear it. This morning, there are a lot of you who are praying. There are a lot of you who are hoping. There are a lot of you who are believing. You feel like you've been left holding the bag. You feel like it hadn't been answered. You feel like it's never going to be answered. You feel like you're going to be left out in the cold. Trust me, I know how you feel. What if God has already answered your prayer? What if he's standing right in front of you? You just can't see him. This morning, stop boxing him in. This morning, let it go. This morning, open your eyes. Or better yet, maybe it's just time we close them and let God show us what to see. If we can help you with this, won't